You're listening to the Daily Actor Podcast. I'm Lance Carter, and in this episode, we're talking to Felicity Jones. Felicity Jones stars alongside Ralph Fiennes in the new film, The Invisible Woman. I remember first seeing her when I was at the San Diego Film Festival, and she was in Drake Doremus' really, really good film, Like Crazy. She was so good. If you haven't seen that yet, you should definitely check it out. She's terrific. The film is fantastic, too. So I'm totally jealous that Kristen Burt got a chance to talk with her.
Hi, this is Kristen Burt for Daily Actor. I spoke with Felicity Jones in early December during a roundtable discussion about The Invisible Woman, which was directed by Ralph Fiennes. Her big breakout film in the U.S. was the Sundance Film Festival jury prize winner, Like Crazy. Felicity is sweet, quiet, and unassuming. But don't let that fool you. She's smart and powerful in her career and the choices she makes as an actor. While she is well known to British filmgoers and to U.S. audiences who are into period and art films, that is all about to change. She has some big movies coming to the silver screen in the next few years, including True Story with Jonah Hill and James Franco, a summer blockbuster called The Amazing Spider-Man 2, and an untitled Warren Beatty project for 2015. Watch out, world. Here comes Felicity. Be sure to check out The Invisible Woman, which opened in limited release on December 25th, and it has a bigger release happening nationwide on January 10th. Before we head over to the interview, I'm going to hand it back over to Lance to wrap it up.
Thanks, Kristen. And now it's plug time. If you need a website, casting director mailing labels, career coaching, list of photographers in your area, we've got all that and more. Also, if you have a question about your career, the site, whatever, send me an email on our contact page. You can find all of that out on dailyactor.com. And now, here's Felicity.
Did you know anything about Charles Dickens' life before you got involved in this project?
I did. I mean, in England, he's so ubiquitous, so you feel like you know him. But I knew his work, I knew his books, but I didn't know about his private life. I didn't know that he'd had an affair with Nellie Turnham. I knew that there was some sort of gossip about him having a closeness to his sister-in-law, but that was kind of the extent of it. So coming to the film, I was new to him and his background.
So what is the most interesting aspect of Nellie that you were able to tap into? Because you bring this great internal rage to her
I feel like she was quite angry.
Ralph then metaphorically captures with the visuals, with the sea and the ocean and your whole mannerisms of striding. What was it you found in this story and the book if you went back to the source material?
I think for Nellie, there was a real conflict in her. I don't think she wanted to be a kind of floozy mistress. That was so antithetical to her identity. But at the same time, she fell in love with someone who had a very particular way of living. And so it was this battle between her love for him and wanting to be with him, but at the same time trying to retain her own dignity and identity. Mm-hmm. And I felt like my job was trying to portray that conflict.
How did they give you a direction? What's his kind of as a director?
He's very honest, so he would come up and say that was awful. do it again, but better. So he was very focused on the performances, as you can imagine. Being an actor, he had a very strong idea about being totally true to the period, which I thought was really fascinating about his direction. You know, often when people make period films, they'll try and make them more appealing to a contemporary audience by maybe being a little more lenient with the truth, whereas Race was very particular about us retaining this truth of the sort of the bonnets and the austerity of the period. And I really actually respect that in him and can see... I love the integrity of the film because of that.
So now, how did that integrity feel when you were wearing all these layers and layers of clothes every day?
Yeah, exactly. I was like, thanks, dude. This corset is really comfortable. It's fascinating because I feel like these women, You know, they not only didn't have the vote, but they also had to wear incredibly uncomfortable clothes that were kind of a battle in itself, just walking. Mm-hmm. So trying to do anything else must have been incredibly difficult. But it was, I think it all helped play Nelly, you know, appreciating the truth of what she actually wore. And Michael O'Connor, who's the costume designer, he is, you know, you don't just wear... You wear literally period undergarments, the whole lot, and they would wear a cage and then three very heavy petticoats, which I managed to fall over in as I was walking along the beach, just absorbing the water. On my first day in front of like a crew of 50 people, I just went head first into the sand. Like, oh, gosh, this is a good start.
Now, you're no stranger to period pieces, but this is as far back as you've gone in period. I mean, you did play Margot Frank.
Yes, yeah.
And you were in Brideshead Revisited.
Yes.
You both have very distinct looks. Is there something special about this era that is tangible that you can latch on to that appeals to you?
I love the aesthetic. I do love there's a sternness to the way women presented themselves at that time. You know, it was very fashionable to have this very severe sort of centre parting, and that I felt there was actually, and even the bonnet becomes sort of a frame around the face. I felt there was actually a strength to it rather than it being inhibiting in any way. But it's interesting. I think English people seem obsessed with telling stories from the past. I don't know why. I don't know quite why that is. Maybe that's when England thought it was great, you know, back when it had the empire. Now it's not the same.
You spoke about the through line, the emotional through line you had with the character. But when you were doing your research, what was the most surprising thing that you learned about Nelly?
The most surprising. Well, actually, just even her. What I loved about her was her seriousness, in a way, and her. That she wasn't this sort of giggly, sycophantic girl. I mean, she loved and appreciated his work and his writing, but there was an absolute sort of authority in her, a natural authority. I hope that comes across, and that's what I wanted to bring out of her.
Go ahead. Could you talk about the Nelly 18 and the Nelly? I was not sure how old she is and was her husband. That is her body or something? Or?
Well, interestingly, she pretended to be a lot younger than she actually was. So when she met George Wharton Robinson, she was in her late 30s and was pretending to be 23. Hmm. And this was a way of almost reliving her life, really. She didn't want anyone, she didn't tell her husband or her kids about her relationship with Dickens. It was very much kept a secret from her own family. And so it was almost like she started her life again by pretending to be 23. And I sort of, that's why I'm quite fascinated with her. You know, she was a real survivor. She did what it took to survive in difficult circumstances.
And she pulled off the age differential without Botox.
Yeah, exactly. Just the acting. Pure belief.
How did you pay attention? The 18th Mary and the 23/30s Mary.
The older. Yeah. The difference?
The acting, how do you pay attention to, like...
I try and just believe... I feel like as an actor, if you believe that you're playing 18, then it will naturally, a different way of being will come out of you. And then obviously playing her older, she's much closer to my own age, so I can bring out more of myself, I guess. But it was much more fun being older than younger, that's one thing I realised. I was like, so much pressure being sort of like a young female, and there's a strange sort of interesting confidence that comes as an older woman.
How do you think the relationship would be... now, after Nelly ends up being...
Oh, once she becomes...
Yeah, what she becomes, and how would her relationship be with Mr. Collins'
after being quite judgmental of
yes,
her.
Yes,
well, I think she'd have to be a bit kinder to her. Yeah, I mean, I just think there's something really conservative in Nelly, you know, and she's very judgmental, and I was keen to bring that out of her. You know, she's not sort of this sort of straightforwardly kind person. She's mm-hmm. a human being with edges,
mm-hmm.
and she immediately judges someone,
mm-hmm.
and then obviously has to slightly eat her own words when she's in the same position.
Mm-hmm. Do you think she knew at that moment what was going to happen to her?
I think she can feel it, which is why she's so vehement about
right.
it. Yeah, I think she can feel that she's going to be in a similar position, but she's trying to fight it because it's not what she wants to be. You know,
right.
I feel like so strongly should have been just, if she could have lived now, she'd have been a writer in her own,
right.
you know, and done
right.
her own thing. And she's so constricted and constrained by the time that she's in.
In this film, you play the other woman, and in Breathe In, you're also the mistress and the other woman. Is it challenging for you to play these types of roles, back-to-back, or is that something that you're kind of, taking easier?
I do feel like I've played a lot of serious roles recently, so I'm looking forward to something a little lighter. I find I take on that character as I'm playing them, and you feel a sort of great, I feel such a responsibility with those stories to portray their feelings accurately, and I care about them. But I don't know, I try to take each project as it comes to you, rather than in any way trying to contrive it. And, you know, if I like the director and I think there's something interesting and the role has, you know, something that I can get my teeth into, then I'm drawn to it and want to do it.
Now, very key to this film is the building up, the chemistry between you and Rafe, and the development of the relationship between Nellie and Charles. We only have one seduction scene in here that's so powerful. Everything leading up to it, it's like quicksilver, it's lightning in a bottle. And the chemistry between the two of you is so hot at moments, it's like it just leaps off the screen. How did you go about developing the pacing and the tone and the emotion to carry that and build to that one culminating scene?
I think you try and play each scene before that with truth and honesty. And also, we didn't want it to be sort of like cheap in any way, their interaction with each other. You know, we felt like they were very careful about their connection to each other. And I feel like Nellie is in some ways, there's something quite Puritan about her, because she's having these sexual feelings for this older man, but has no one to talk to her about it. There's no sort of, she doesn't live in a world where that can be discussed with friends or family. And there's a sort of guilt with it. So it was about charting that process towards Dickens. So it's just I think it's just a gradual, it's very important that it's gradual and that the audience is on both their sides as it's happening, mm-hmm. and doesn't judge them for it.
Can you talk about working with Kristen Scott Thomas as your mom?
Oh, she's tremendous. I mean, it was so surreal when I was in the read-through, I was sitting between Rafe and Kristen. It was like being in the English Patient. Strangely. But I love that film so much. I think they're both so great in it. And I actually have kept watching Kristen Scott Thomas as I was growing up, and she's a real idol. I think she always such cool films and interesting work and challenges herself. So yeah, it was really, really amazing to work with her.
Could you talk about the Nellie has kind of starstruck when she met the Charles Dickens? So how about you, when you met the Rafe
and Kristen? Well, with Rafe, I was slightly intimidated because I thought he was going to be a bit like Voldemort. There is a moment when you're like, oh my god, is that Voldemort? But then Rafe is actually a very sweet, kind, lovely person, and nothing like Voldemort at all. So.
More like Ron Weasley.
More like Ron Weasley.
If you do a bad take, you'll be turned into a frog.
Yeah, exactly. There's always that fear.
There's a scene where Nellie overhears her mom saying that her mom feels she's not a talented actress. Was it difficult to do the stage scenes where you're supposed to be not good?
Well, yeah, I mean, Griff and I talked about this at length, actually, because we thought, we don't want her to be just a hammy actress. And I don't think that was the case. I feel like she just wasn't comfortable being on stage. I think she hated acting. I think it just didn't come naturally to her. Rather than her being sort of over the top, it's more that it didn't feel natural to her to be on stage. And so that was more my approach than trying to make her really bad in any sort of broad brushstroke way.
Thanks, Felicity, and thank you guys for listening. Check out The Invisible Woman when you can. Keep coming back to Daily Actor for more great interviews, news from film, TV, and theater, and so much more. Follow me on Twitter at Daily Actor and like our Facebook page, facebook.com/Daily Actor. Also, follow Kristen Burt on Twitter. She's at Kristen Burt, KristynBurtt. Thanks for supporting the advertisers. I'm Lance, and I'll talk to you soon.